Welcome to the Susan Winter Show. Here you'll find practical tips and tools to address your most pressing concerns on love, dating, and partnership. And now, here's your love and life mentor, Susan Winter.
Welcome, everyone. It's Susan Winter here today, continuing my interviews with the most significant people in dating and relationship. And today, I have somebody very special, Kezia Noble. I'm sure you've heard of her. She is the leading female coach for men on dating, on approach, and she's written this magnificent book, The Noble Art of Seducing Women. She has, 77 million views on YouTube, over 400,000 subscribers just on YouTube alone. She has a fantastic backstory. She provides really straight, clear-talking advice to help guys in their approach anxiety, in their seduction skills, in just learning how to show up with more confidence. And this is a show for men, but ladies, do not tune out. You need to hear this. You're wondering why that really cute guy doesn't come up to you, why he keeps looking at you, you get mixed messages, he wants to ask you out, he doesn't. You don't understand the level of fear that men go through in being rejected and how vital it is to have somebody like Kezia on their side. So here, without any delay, Kezia, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for making time for me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me on.
So let's start with your backstory. History of being a wing woman. I think that just primed you perfectly for the work that you do now. You had an inside look at the unbelievable discontent and fear that men have when they're trying to approach a woman. So explain to my listeners what that was, how it looked, and what you noticed that helped you today in your work.
Mm-hmm. So this is back in 2006. I was working for a company and I was a wing girl. And that means going into bars and clubs with guys and sort of listening into their approaches and their interactions and giving them feedback when they came out of the interactions. And so it was like they would introduce me as like their friend or something like that. And what did I learn from there? Well, I learned that you can apply skills and techniques and get results from them. And I know that sounds very contrived. And a lot of people just say, you know, I just want to be a natural. But if you have no experience in talking to women, you can't just be yourself or be a natural. Right. You have to have what we call like the safety net, which is the stock and trade lines. And you need to know the chess moves. You know, what if she says to you, I'm not interested in talking to you, I'm having a drink with my friend. There's actually something that you can do, you can say to her that we teach, and it can change her perception of you, and it can literally change her initial no into a yes. So those kind of things are really useful because guys, as you said, are very, very nervous about rejection, about the approach, about looking creepy. That's the other thing. So a woman, for instance, if she was going to approach a man, she would be worried about rejection, but she would never be worried about being creepy. Women don't have to worry about that. They can be worried maybe about being too full on, but creepy is something else. It's something that guys really are terrified of being labeled, especially if they're not, you know, especially if they're not creepy. They're just nervous, and that's how it's communicated as creepiness or translated, I should say. And so, yeah, that's how I started out. And then from there, I started up a YouTube channel and that was getting a lot of views. And then I was approached by a publishing company and they wanted me to write a book, which I did. And that's when I left the company that I was working with and set up my own company.
This is fantastic. I think, you know, none of us want to be rejected, but I keep thinking about that long walk across the bar when a guy has a woman in his sights and he desperately wants to talk to her, impress her, get her attention, and how horrible that must be because he's got his buddies watching him. So to have a formula, and I don't mean formulaic, but to have at least an outline, you've got a number of things, and I want to talk to you about a lot of this, but let's talk about why do you think men are so terrified and what steps can they do to get over this approach anxiety?
Okay, so the steps that they can take to overcome is it's a two-pronged attack. So the first one is actually going out there, facing rejection, feeling the burn until you're immune to it. Because there comes a point when, and I've, you know, worked with very difficult cases, and they always thought that they'll never get rid of their approach anxiety. But at some point, you don't react the same way as you did the first time that you were rejected. And so once you become immune to it, there's a shift. There's an internal shift where you start thinking with clarity. You don't have the fog of fear hanging over you. You're able to make better decisions. You're able to emotionally detach yourself from the situation and the outcome. And that's vital, because that's when you start making good chess moves, I say. If you are worried or scared, that's when you start making bad decisions, bad moves. And also you can't remember what the advice was that was given to you, because you're just, there's so much noise in your head. So there's got to come this point. You've got to go through the pain, guys. You've got to go through it. But you'll come out on the other side as this person who can think better, who can make intelligent, clever moves, who knows what to do and is less emotionally attached to it. You have to almost be reptilian. You have to be so detached that you don't care. When that happens, people start liking you. It's quite funny.
That's the bad boy that doesn't care, right?
It is.
But he's a good guy that has learned to detach from outcome, right?
Well, the bad guy and the good guy, I could literally write a book about those two.
Well, then that's the next
one. And the nice guy who's the one who gets no one. So the good guy and the bad guy, they get all the girls. But they use something called the shadow side. Maybe we can talk about the shadow side later. So that's the first thing that they have to do. There's another technique that we use, which is we call it blowout game. So the whole thing is that you go with the wing guy or the coach and you have to be blown out. That means every girl has to reject you. That's the aim. So you're sort of turning the thing that you're scared of into a game. So what they do is they give each other the worst approach lines ever. You know, like one said, you know, I'm an alien from out of space and I'm here to impregnate human women. You know, it's really, really bad stuff. What happens is at first, because they're doing it like half-heartedly and they're a bit still nervous, the women will obviously reject them. But then by the end of the night, they can't get rejected, even though they're using the bad lines, because they're so confident. So there's lots of little exercises and things that you can do. You have to also learn to like yourself. That's the deep inner work. I don't mean like yourself in the way like, you know, convincing yourself you're something you're not, like remaining realistic, but just putting a list out of everything that you like about yourself. And it doesn't have to be related to dating and attracting women. It can be just personal achievements. It can be your values, good deeds that you've done, just personality traits that you like about yourself. And then you have to also create a list of what you want from your ideal woman. And you've got to be really picky here. So most guys will have a very vague list. You know, she's got to be attractive, nice, friendly. And what that translates to is, I'll take anything I can get. But the fussier you are, then what happens is you start going into the interaction as the prize. Okay, she's cute. She's cute. There's a lot of cute girls. What else does she have going on? Does she have this quality, that quality? And then that starts, so that affects obviously your mindset and it boosts your confidence, but also it really helps with the conversation too. It gives a lot of like conversation fuel when you are sort of trying to identify certain things or traits or values from somebody else.
Kezia, this seems like the spillover would even be in their business life. Because, you know, this exposure therapy to rejection could help the salesperson. It could help you ask for a raise. It could do all sorts of things because you're really increasing the confidence from the inside out and just showing them how to present themselves in a way that is the most favorable. Brilliant. I never even thought about that. I have a thing I call duty dating. I've been talking about it for about 15 years, where you just date for data. You date for information because in the other side of the world, many people are dating for outcome, of a committed relationship, right? Just like to get the digits, they're looking at the outcome and will I not be shut down? And so we have this where they're so upset about getting this outcome that they can't really interact. They can't hear, they can't listen. Exactly what you said. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant.
Well, what else about that, what you've just mentioned, is if you need something so badly, the other person can almost smell it on you. And it's actually the biggest game, attraction killer. I call it game sometimes, but attraction killer is when you know the other person is so needy. Because that means that they're operating from a scarcity mindset rather than an abundance mindset. And an abundance mindset is attractive to both men and women.
This is brilliant. Okay. I could ask you 1,000 questions. I want to go now to one of your main areas, inner game. And it's got 3 prongs, if I understand that correctly. We might have already discussed outcome, but could you describe inner game?
Okay. So in a game, right? I say that there's 3 levels of game. So the top level is the conversation, you know, the gambits, all the fun stuff. Yeah. The approach, what to say, how to get a number. Then the second one is inner game. The second layer is inner game. And that layer, you could say, is confidence, energy, mood, self-belief. It's a number of things, but it's so critical. It's so important. And I'll explain why. A lot of guys will say to me, Kezia, I did everything you said. I didn't put a foot wrong. You know, I made her laugh. We had a great conversation. We made deep connection. But she said there's no chemistry, or there's just something, or she just wants to stay friends. And I always know that it's because the second layer had been neglected, because the second layer is like the glue that holds the first layer in place and it calibrates, okay? Being calibrated is everything. Hence why a lot of people have a drink, because a drink, having alcohol, and I'm not promoting alcohol, and I'll explain why in a minute, but having a drink gives you calibration. You suddenly feel good. You suddenly like, yeah, he who dares wins. You've got that kind of playing to win kind of attitude. But the problem with alcohol is that you need another one to keep to sustain it. And then it starts, you know, the first layer becomes sloppy. Right. But if you can calibrate in that way, feel really good and just see yourself as the prize and do all the inner work, then the surface stuff will just, it will be authentic. That's what I'm trying to say. It'll be much more authentic. So yeah, that's inner game.
That must take some bit of coaching to get them to that point. This is not something you can do in a weekend or one session, you know?
Well, you've got to. Yeah,
it's a lot, right? It's a
lot.
Well,
we do it in a week. We do it in a week on our mastery program. We do. Because it's very intense. And what they've got to, you can't just get the inner work done from looking in the mirror and, you know, saying, giving yourself pep talks, affirmations. Yeah, yeah. It works for a very small minority of people, but most people, they need to go out and they need to rack up those reference points, those positive reference points, or as some people call them, results. You need the results because you need to create a positive feedback loop. So you, for instance, let's say we have some students who, you know, just even keeping a woman's attention for more than like 2 minutes is an achievement for them. So it's baby steps. So they learn to just do that. And then what happens is they feel good about it.
Right.
You know, and then that energy, you know, is in place. And then they start being calibrated. And then they talk to the next girl. And then she gives a better response because the mood has shifted from fear and worry to, you know, feeling good about yourself. So it becomes a positive feedback loop. But it's very important for our students, and I even have to use this for my own. It's helped me incredibly with my fears also when it comes to dating, which is don't ever take anything personally. The moment you do that, you'll get triggered and you won't be able to make smart choices. So you can feel sad if you didn't get the person you wanted. That's normal. You know, I'm not telling people to be a robot, but you can't take it personally. You can't look and say it's because that person hated me. It's because all women are like this, or it's because women only like tall men, or this, or blah, blah, blah. No. She chose not to be with you because you made a mistake. you did something that, you know, you could have done better. And you have to walk away from it and go, right, what did I do wrong? I think it was this, and I'm going to correct it and learn from it. You've got to be, as I said, emotionally detached from it. Starting to emotionally take it personally, intellectually, right? What have I done wrong? How can I do better next time? Rather than, why is it always me?
Right.
Why can't I ever get the, and I see my female friends do it. They're crying their eyes out going, why is it always me? And I'm like, listen, you're frustrated. Okay,
Does this work for women too? I mean, the teaching, wouldn't it work for women just as well if they could learn this?
I use it. When a guy is like not into me the way I'm into him, or he doesn't want a relationship, I do not take it personally. I do not crumble. I get sad going, ah, you know, that would have been great, that relationship, if only. But then I look at myself and I go, right, how could I have done things differently to have got him? And then I improve I've already improved myself for the next person that I meet. Don't take the baggage, don't take the sadness and the frustration with you. Take the learning, take how you can improve yourself. Give the next person the better version of yourself.
I love that. I love the self-correcting because, you know, we always want to make it about them. And there's so much that we have to control here. So, okay, sometimes I have guys who say to me, I'm not attractive. No woman wants me. I mean, they have this story. No woman wants me. I'm not attractive. What do I do? What do you do? Or I'm short and I'm unattractive and I'm underemployed. Those guys think they don't have a chance. What would you say to somebody like that?
Okay, so I'm going to use personal anecdotes here. I like personal anecdotes. I have dated a wide range of men. I have a type, like all women have and all men have. I have a type, but I don't always end up with that type. And that's the most exciting ones. When you start falling for someone who's not your type, you're Ooh. Like, all right, what kind oh. of sorcery is going on here? It's amazing. So I knew one guy and I dated him, and he was what society would call a loser. He was a drifter, didn't work much. He was gaming, you know, like living at his parents' house at like in his late 20s. But my goodness, he could get any woman he wanted. He was totally unapologetic for his lifestyle. He had a very positive attitude. He made people feel good around him. He understood women. He understood how female desire operates. He had game. He had game. And when they said, why are you doing nothing of your life? He's like, because I've always wanted to be a bum. You know, it's totally unapologetic. This is my reality. Yeah, don't like it. Yeah. There's the door. Mm-hmm. And then I've dated guys, been on dates with guys who have had everything. One of them was even not part of the royal family, but let's just say very close to it. Okay. And he was so apologetic and so, like, you know, didn't have a clue how to talk to women. He was good looking also. So he had all the trappings, but wasn't so good with women. In the end, he was actually, he got a lot better with women, but that's a different story. I would say to those guys, look, the good looking guys and the ones that have got that, you know, interesting lifestyle, good connections. Yeah, they got a head start. What are you going to do about it? They got a head start. A 25-year-old woman's got a head start over me. Nothing I can do. There's certain things that you cannot do. You cannot fix or change. Okay, do everything in your power to change it, but there's a limit, okay? If you're short, you're not going to be tall. That's it. Get over it. Start working on the other attributes, okay? If you're short, own it. Make a joke about it, okay? Bring it. I once dated a guy who was 5'5". He could borrow my...
How tall are you?
I'm 5'5", same height as me.
Okay. But it's not like 5'11". Okay.
I'm not that sure. But you know what he used to call himself? His nickname was Pixie. So you know what a pixie is? It's like a little fairy.
Yeah.
He owned it to that point. He called himself Pixie because he was so small. And this was like nobody ever came away going, oh, that short guy. No one described, I mean, you knew he was short, but that's not what you could see. You were attracted. This guy was attractive in his personality. Another one who got a lot of women also. So there's certain things that you can, you know, do stuff about. Like if you're overweight, yes, you can lose weight. And there are things you can do. Okay. But, you know, there are certain things that's it. That's the card that you've been dealt in life. Okay. And I have to do it also, like, you know, I'm not getting any younger, as they say. But I don't.
You're gorgeous. You've always been gorgeous. You will always be gorgeous.
That's very kind of you. But I would not like to compete with 25-year-old Kezia. Let's put it that way. But again, this is harsh talk.
Yeah.
Harsh talk is what everyone needs. You cannot adjust and correct and get better if everyone's going around the houses and being nice. People have to be blunt, harsh. And that's it. And that's how I am with my clients. That's the card you've been handed. Right, do something about it. I've had students with no legs. Okay. I've had students with severe, like spasms they have, like twitches are like out of nowhere. Okay. Even them, I say to them, tough. Is there a medication that you can take to fix this? They go, no. Okay, let's stop talking about it. Okay. Poor you. Yep, we get it. Right. How are we going to get you attractive now?
I love the word that you used, head start, instead of hopeless. You know, they have a head start, but I truly believe that what you're saying is developing the other qualities. If I always look at it like a pie, you have X amount of percent. Sometimes you get 70% raw, gorgeous, good looks. And then those people tend not to develop the other parts of themselves. And what people have done, if they know that they have something that society views as maybe a little bit less, it is incumbent upon them to learn how to bring out the other things that make the whole picture 100%. I know what you're saying. I had a lovely fellow that calls me. I do one at a time. So I got 45 minutes to fix somebody. He had cerebral palsy. I asked him how far along he was. He said, I'm on crutches. Like my mind is going, ch-ch-ch-ch-ch-ch. I got a wonderful design for him. Fortunately, he had watched movies like The Kingsman. And I said, we are going to make you so cool. We're going to get you a walking stick. I want the most beautiful walking stick. This is going to be your thing. And you are going to dress like a gent. You are going to look so smart. He goes, I love to dress up. He calls me back later and just told me, because he's like, I got to tell you, I went to this party and these girls were asking me to dance and they asked me to come to their table because he's so nice and he's young, Kezia, he's young. I mean, you know, you have somebody that has a physical condition and they're asking you for confidence around women and you're suddenly like, how do I spin this? And it is so true. What you're doing, I think, is so valuable because if we don't have people like you, a lot of these guys are going to fall into the women are bad, we hate women. They're going to fall into that category of hating women because they have not worked on themselves. It's so beautiful what you're doing.
To give another example, there's a guy and he lives near me. And I see him sometimes and he's burnt. He's had a terrible injury of some sort where his face is completely burnt. Yeah. I mean, really, really bad. And he always looks me in the eye and smiles. Always smiles, looks me in the eye. And it's very strange. I can't explain it, but I'm just like, why do I find this man weirdly attractive? Like, he's not attractive because obviously he's not physically attractive because of this terrible disfigurement. But he's owning it. And then I saw him again with the most beautiful woman. And I was like, listen, if that guy can look at a woman in the eyes and smile and give off such energy that you're kind of like weirdly attracted. You know those guys?
Yeah,
you
just think,
if he can do it, okay, please. Someone that's 5'5", stop talking.
See what you're doing. You're talking about that's the level two stuff, right? That you teach.
Yes, that's level two. Yeah.
Is there a level three? Is that get rid of the outcome?
Or is the that level a three? I'm is that a secret? No. Yeah, it's a bit of a secret and it's a bit woo woo. It's a bit woo woo.
Okay.
And I think some people just might go.
It's up to you. Maybe it's only in your coaching. Maybe we wait for level three.
Yeah, okay.
I want you to reveal anything you don't want to reveal. Because I watched the video and you're kind of stuck there. And I thought, okay, I would sign up for you in a second. I think women should sign up for this too, as a matter of fact. You know, I really love that reframe on being rejected because it is hard, you know, but the immersion that you do, that blowout scenario, that's brilliant. How many men can you take at one time in a class?
We have the mastery program, and that's just one-on-one coaching. And then we have an acceleration program that's online. And we also have we're doing a new one actually. And it's a weekend workshop where they just learn about what to do on a first date. They have practice dates with our female coaches because so many of our students said it's the date part that they find really difficult.
What do you suggest as a date, a first date? A lot of people don't know how to do that. What should it be? Coffee, drinks? What is your philosophy or suggestion?
For me, it's a bar. It's very, very simple. Take her to a bar, but don't take her to a random bar you've never been to. Take her somewhere where you've done your homework, you've done your research. This is really, really important. You want to find the ideal bar. And the ideal bar is one where you can hear each other speak.
Oh, thank you.
You can get a nice little cozy table, and they haven't got live music on. They haven't got the, you know, football on in the background bellowing out. You haven't got it's not near a rugby club or something where there's not going to be loads of good looking men going in there. I mean, there are these places, you know, now sometimes you go, where are these good looking men coming from? You realize there's something nearby or something.
A little bit of a distraction. Yeah.
You've got to do your homework, guys. I think guys get really oh, that looks like a nice bar. I'll take her there. And then they get in there and it's absolutely packed and there's nowhere to sit. No, you've got to do your research. I would avoid restaurants, but not all the time. If you know that the woman's very attracted to you, then the restaurant's fine. But with a lot of women these days, they sort of treat a lot of guys like the food dude, we call them. Like they just want to go out for nice dinners, especially if guys are using those apps, which I don't like.
I know. What is this? Or take me to Paris on the first date. That's a whole nother thing. Fly me across the world. Oh, who pays?
The man, always, always.
Good, good. So you're teaching them.
And if you've asked her out, men, if you have asked the woman out, you're paying, okay? And if she, and she will, open her wallet and say, please let me go half, you don't think about it. You just go to her, absolutely not. Put it away. No, that's not happening, okay? Now, I am a wealthy woman, okay? So this is not about me getting free food or just enjoying watching the man spend money on me. It's just that I want to feel feminine, okay? Yeah. I would just splitting the bill with a guy would make me projectile vomit. I'm sorry. I would never see that person again. Oh, and again, it's not because I don't have the money. It's just, I couldn't, it's an ick.
There's a lot of controversy about this. And I have guy friends. I have a coach in California who's like, no, guys shouldn't always pay. I think in the beginning, the man should pay. There's a very short window of courtship before you get into that relationship. And I mean, do your duty. I think it's just, it's part of the, you know, the enticement. It's part of the allure. It's part of having her trust you, think she's safe, just honoring.
It's a feminine thing. It's a feminine, feminine, especially now, you know, we do pay our bills and most of us, you know, pay our own rent. We don't have a man now being the breadwinner. So it's nice for that moment to have someone else take care of us. And by the way, even the loser guy that I mentioned at the beginning would never, ever let me pay for nothing, wouldn't it? And I think it was that contrast of, okay, he's a bit of a bum and he sits around all day, but he's got this. I told you, he understood women, this guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I have a buddy who told me that he was struggling. He was an actor when he started off. He's quite famous now. And he said he kind of lived in his truck or was couch surfing. He said, I could get laid every night. He said, but he's got this fantastic personality. Oh, my God. Because he's funny. He's nice looking, but he's funny. He's natural. He's just that right amount of self-effacing to make you comfortable, but he's smart, incredibly emotionally intelligent. He's just like, he's got it. I mean, there's way a woman wouldn't go like, yeah.
Right? Yeah, I know. They're just so natural.
He's fun. He's fun. You call them a natural, right? Mm-hmm. These are naturals.
So yes, they're naturals. And when you tell them what they're doing, it's quite weird. They kind of know what they're doing, but they don't like you telling them. I've noticed that. When I say, oh, you know, you did this thing. Like there was this guy. Okay, I'll tell you a very quick story. So my sister was at a bar and she ordered a drink. And then a man had paid for it for her. And she looked at me and she said, oh, no, I don't want. She didn't want it because she goes, now I've got to go talk to him and it's going to be awkward. So I was like, you know what, just go and say thank you and walk off, okay? And she went up to him and she said, hey, thanks for the drink. And he went, no problem. And he walked off.
Oh, brilliant.
So we were sitting down and she kept looking at this. I said, what are you looking for? She goes, that man. I said, but you told me you're not interested in him. She's like, well, now I am. And then I went years later and I met this guy who was a natural. He's famous and he's a natural. And he said, oh, I have a little technique that I use. And I said, what's that? And he goes, I buy a girl a drink and then walk off. I said, you're joking. I saw this guy doing it before. Brilliant. Like, and they just know instinctively, okay, that's my little thing and that works. And then I said to him, that's called breaking rapport. We call it breaking rapport. And he was like, what? And he didn't want to know.
Right.
It's like,
right.
Ruin the magic.
Oh, that's brilliant. So I tell guys that to not be creepy or, you know, to just, I say like a dart as you're, when you see a dartboard in a pub and you just throw it and you walk out of the door, it's like, give her a compliment and walk the heck away. Cause it's that, it's the creepy is where they stand there. And then the woman's like, oh my God, I got to get away. Right. But if you do it and then you leave, you give her a breath and then it inspires the curiosity. That was brilliant. Yes. Kezia, I don't want to hold you too long. You're so fabulous. Oh my gosh. I got to have you on again if you have time, but give me some other tips that maybe we haven't discussed that guys need to know that nobody's been talking about. I'm sure you've covered everything. There comes a point when I'm talking or like, I can't even discuss this one more time. Is there something new that you're discovering now with all that you know that you really want to share with us that maybe people aren't talking about?
Well, we've covered quite a lot in this episode, the neediness and coming from an abundance mindset is incredibly important. There has to be this kind of attitude where this is kind of like touching on the third layer, but you have to ultimately know. And I don't know, some people believe in God or they believe in destiny, whatever it is that you believe in, you've got to have this almost absolute faith that things will work out for you. That things ultimately will work out for you. And that kind of supports everything. That's when you have that real strength to say, there's the door if you don't like it. Or, you know, if you're not interested in me, not there's other fish in the sea. Just be like, okay, you're not part of the plan. God's plan, destiny's plan, my plan, whatever it is. That's very, very powerful. That's really powerful. I would say that if I'm going to talk about something very light, though, that I would say to men, I don't know about your clients, but a lot of my clients are on dating apps. And I believe that if they're on dating apps, they should at least take time off for about 3 months from them and start approaching women. Because dating apps have been sold as the silver bullet, you know, the quick fix. And they're anything but. Now, I'm not on dating apps. But my friends are, my female friends and male friends. I have a male friend who's on Raya, which is the celebrity dating app. Now, I kid you not, he gets the most beautiful women I have ever seen. And he has these dates. And you know what? He's not got involved with any of them. And I said to him, you're going on multiple dates with gorgeous women. You wanted to go on this app to find a relationship because he's divorced. What's happened? He's like, I'm addicted. There's another one and another one. So even the top 2% who are doing well are not doing well because they're not investing in the date. When they're on the date, they're already thinking about what can I get next? It's like a little slot machine.
Yeah.
You know, like, what's next? Something better. Someone famous maybe. So everybody becomes replaceable.
Yes.
And that's why I'm not on dating apps. I don't want to be replaceable. I have a big ego. I'm sorry. I don't want to be replaceable.
I'd say you like yourself.
I want to be the girl that they meet in real life. I always say to guys, be the man that she met in real life rather than the text message in her app.
Kezia, you're fabulous. I'm going to tell you, I think you've got a lot of confidence that's been hard earned, and you like yourself as you should. I don't know that that's a big ego. I think you have a realistic opinion of yourself. And I'm glad that you said that, because dating apps are so, there is that, it, like any social media, they just get you in the spin. And I think too, if we're on them too long, we either get disillusioned with the scammers or the bots, or we chat people up and they disappear, because women have 1,000 options. They've got all sorts of guys coming after them, and you're not practicing IRL. You're not doing that. You're not
rusty.
Yeah. You know how to make a date. Maybe you can close her to the deal where you make a date, but now you're not moving forward. And yeah, it's amazing. I thought that was only for celebrities. You can't believe the people that are on it. I think they only look.
Oh, Raya, they just take anyone.
I know. Now they do. You used to have to be recommended by people. I know, because I see people on Instagram. They've got more than, like, I don't know, 30,000 followers. They get on it. I'm like, who are you? I know. I know you think it's exclusive. You are fabulous. All of you, Kezia's information will be in the show notes, but I have to tell you, many of the things that we've talked about today are on her YouTube channel right now. Same name, are on her YouTube channel about the inner game. And I just saw the one about getting off the dating apps. Please check it out. Check out her book. I'm going to put all the links in the show notes. You are fabulous. Oh my gosh. I wanted to talk to you for so long, because we had a pre-conversation about me hearing you on a radio show years ago, where you handled the most difficult man with such grace.
Don't mention him.
It's
really nasty, that one.
I'm pretty sharp on my legal matters. but all I can tell you is that you handled him with such grace and authority and stayed composed. And I was like, oh, I have got to talk to her. Kezia, you're a doll. Thank you so much for this time. I know this will be so beneficial to the men listening. This is the level of stuff they do not get when they listen to a lot of other people. And I know they're not going to get the depth and the unification of how all this works. So thank you for your time tonight.
Welcome. Thank you so much for having me on.
You're welcome, dear. Bye-bye now.